He was tall, very tall. The man they call Jaron. He stood at the exit of the train cart and glanced over at several corners of the train station. He was mustached, balding on top, hair parted in a ridiculous schoolboy fashion. His face showed of a man very serious and stern. His suit was a bland gray with a fat blue tie that most definitely didn't match. Jaron found a cab parked a few feet away from the newsstand behind the train station. The only cab not bothered by anyone. He walked up to the cab, opened the door to the left rider's side, and slid in on the noisiest vinyl covering he'd ever come across. The cab driver was in the middle of his lunch, a messy hamburger where the sauce sat comfortably on his chin.
"I'm not on duty,"
the cabbie said, his mouth spitting out chewed bun on his shirt. He casually wiped it off. He was looking at Jaron in the rearview mirror. Jaron sighed. "Look, I need a ride into Vandy. I'll pay double the rate." The cabbie finished his burger in one swallow. When he was done, he laughed.
"My God, friend, no one rides into Vandy. Not in the least. It's a good 56 miles from this train station. It's also the most boring town in America."
"As you say, but I still need a ride. It includes the tip." Jaron avoided the cabbie's gaze in the mirror.
"It would have to, friend. On top of the fare and double the rate."
He started the engine, and the cab coughed and spat out a dark cloud of fumes that nearly choked Jaron to death.
"And away we go,"
the cabbie said in a sing-song voice. A few miles down a road that took them across a hill of green grass and cows with eyes the color of the black hole. Still, Jaron would not look his driver in the eyes. This annoyed the cab driver to no end.
"For you to pay this amount of money, not rent a car, must be pretty important to go to Vandy," the cabbie said.
Jaron thought a moment. He kept his eyes on the scenery. "Yes, I suppose it must be," he retorted. The cabbie waited a few minutes. He laughed, looked in the rearview mirror.
"Why didn't you rent a car, friend?"
Jaron breathed through flared nostrils. "I can't drive," he said.
"You're kidding. At your age."
The cabbie turned around briefly to see Jaron's reaction.
"Business there?"
Jaron thought again. His eyebrows lowered. "I'm not sure why I'm going there," he said. He saw a pair of confused eyes in the rearview mirror. He looked away.
"Yes, business."
The cabbie felt the iciness of Jaron's voice. He shrugged and said,
"I don't care what you do."
The ride was a long one for both driver and rider. Still, almost any conversation would end with a false start. The jazz that came from the radio annoyed both, so it would get switched off several times. Jaron nearly fell asleep, staring out the window a number of times. He wasn't sure, but he felt whenever his eyes were getting, so too was the cabbie's, as the car would jerk back and forth on the road between lanes. In 2 hours by the back roads, they reached Vandy. The cab pulled into a town reminiscent of white picket fences and clean roads, the stuff only existing in most mines and TV land. The cabbie seemed to get excited.
"Man, I haven't been here in years."
The cab pulled into the parking lot of the only hotel in town. Jaron paid the cabbie. The stack of bills rested in the palm of his hands, then rolled them up in a rubber band and placed them in a cigar box under his seat.
"Hey, you have a nice visit, mister."
The cabbie turned to Jaron, who had already slammed the door to the cab. Jaron walked into the lobby. A group of elderly people dressed in black parted in the middle for him to pass. He stood at the desk, waiting for the two clerks to acknowledge him. One clerk, a woman with dyed black hair fashioned into a beehive, looked at Jaron as if she'd seen the tax man at her doorstep. The other clerk, a man dressed in a black tuxedo, had eyes that bugged out of his head and was constantly blinking.
"Excuse me," Jaron said. "Could I have some service, or do you have to be a member?"
They exchanged looks, but the male clerk stepped forward. He blinked twice, said in a high-pitched voice,
"Very droll, sir."
"I'd like a room," Jaron said. They exchanged looks. Whispers came from the circle of elderly people. The male clerk blinked twice.
"I'm afraid I haven't any rooms available, sir."
He blinked twice more.
"Oh, no."
Jaron gave a tug at the lips of what resembled a smile, but it could also have been gas.
"There are very few vehicles in the parking lot. This, what I believe, is the only hotel in town."
"That matters not."
He blinked twice.
"The parking extends down the street, sir. We have a town pageant, sir. Folks from the adjoining counties are also here for the occasion.
He blinked twice more. I was not aware there was holiday.
Good day, sir.
He blinked twice, went back to the female clerk and their conversation. Jaren was dumbfounded. He'd never experienced such rudeness. As he left the hotel, he glanced back. The circle of elderly folk were staring. One lady had her head bowed, mumbling a prayer. Jaren had no idea where to go next. He decided to walk toward the courthouse. In a long row of houses, he'd seen a cafe in the tradition of a malt shop. He'd passed a drugstore where four men, dressed in black and blue suits, sat in rocking chairs. "Excuse me, gentlemen," Jaren stepped toward them. They exchanged uneasy looks. "Could any of you point me in the direction of a bed and breakfast?"
"What the hell would you want with a bed and breakfast room?"
one of them said in a shocked voice.
"That's a silly question," Jaren fired back.
"I'll tell you, son, but I don't think Haley will give you a room,"
another said, stubbed out his cigar. "Why wouldn't she rent me a room?" Jaren was exasperated. They exchanged looks. The third man sighed. He stood, pointed.
"Go a ways, two blocks up this road. You see a sign for Lafferty Avenue? Take that. The third house on the left. You'll know her house. She's got a sign that says Haley's Place."
"How convenient," Jaren said sarcastically. "Thank you, gentlemen." He walked away, knowing they were staring at him. Jaren knocked on the door of a quaint two-story house that was painted powder blue. The curtains in the front room moved slightly, placed back carefully. The door opened, and a woman in her early 50s, dressed in black, appeared smiling.
"Yes?"
she said in broken English. She focused her eyes on the man standing at her door, and her breath exited her body uneasily. She stepped back and tried to close the front door.
"Wait!"
Jaren caught the door with a hand.
"Please, I'm only here for a room."
They struggled with the door, the woman finally winning the battle.
"I have no rooms left,"
she screamed and slammed the door shut. Jaren walked away, running a hand across an exasperated face. "I only want lodging for the night," he said to no one in particular.
"What's the matter, friend? Can't get a place to stay?"
Jaren looked up, and it was the cabbie who brought him into town. Jaren smiled slightly. "It seems I rub people the wrong way." He walked up to the cab that was idling in the street. He leaned in, resting his arm on the side mirror. "You haven't left yet?"
"Nah, I'm enjoying this place. People are friendly. Well, to me. Food here is wonderful. Gee, mister, I don't know what you did to these people, but they treat me like a king."
The cabbie thought a second. He slapped his hand on the steering wheel.
"I got it. Come with me, and I'll get you some food and a room."
Jaren was more than willing. Like a child who received the best Christmas present ever, he giggled as he jumped in the back seat of the cab. An hour later, cabbie and Jaren were parked along a curb by the empty school grounds. Jaren was slumped over in the back seat, with his hand casually draped over his face. The cabbie fiddled with the car radio. Neither was saying much. Cabbie couldn't stay quiet for long.
"Like I said, I don't know what you did to these people,"
cabbie said, almost in a whisper.
"I didn't do anything to these..."
"Oh, hell with it." Jaren kicked the back seat.
"You'll want me to take you back to the train station, say where you're from?"
Jaren sighed. "I don't remember," he said, lost in thought.
"Okay, don't tell me."
No, I swear, I don't remember. "I look in my wallet. It says on an ID card I live in Santa Barbara. I really don't remember." Cabbie reached back there, took the wallet from Jaren. He looked through it.
"John Jaren, 5504 Furrow Drive, Santa Barbara, California. Looks like this is your wife."
Cabbie showed him the photo through the plastic casing inside the wallet. A wedding picture of Jaren holding hands with a young blonde woman dressed as a bride. He is a groom.
"No pics of any kids, but one of a Great Dane. You really don't remember anything? Job, parents, where you grew up?"
Jaren shook his head.
"Geez, friend, you got it bad. Hey, the town pageant is starting. Let's go look."
Cabbie jumped out of the car, starstruck. Jaren reluctantly followed Cabbie out of the car and down the street. He stood beside Cabbie and hundreds of onlookers as a band of people dressed in black walking behind an old hearse led by a horse and a driver with a whip in one hand, reins in the other.
The onlookers were tossing lilies at the feet of a woman walking directly behind the hearse.
Ain't that something, friend? Right out of a PBS drama, huh? Reenactment of some kind.
The cabbie noticed Jaren wasn't at his side anymore. Jaren had rushed out into the crowd of marching people in the street, fighting his way to the woman right behind the hearse. When he reached her, Jaren turned her around, tore the veil from her face. It was the bride from his wedding picture. He fell backwards onto the back of the hearse. The horse had stopped in its tracks. Jaren peered inside the hearse window. He saw himself lying there in the velvet lining of the hearse, arms folded across the front of his black suit, eyes closed, resting so peacefully.